work for not obeying God's word. And you were just talking to that man right there. I need to share with you this. And I asked if my homeless man was here. I went to go see them. A big... This is my wife, Debbie.
Hi.
Debbie, I'm Dave.
Hi, nice
Dave
to meet you.
Dave from Canada.
Oh, okay.
You're a lucky lady if you married a guy like this.
God has blessed me.
We're blessed to have each other, and I don't deserve anything. But anyway, just to share with you in love, not gossip. They were out talking, and there was him, and there was another lady.
Here, you can
and there was his wife. There was another lady, and there was his wife. And I began to talk to them. Hey, what's with the gospel signs? And they said, oh, yeah. And the lady started talking. She said, oh, it's my ministry. And I said, it's your ministry. And he was just standing there. And I said, okay. And she started talking about how we just go and tell everybody about Jesus and, you know, the signs and wonders. And she got healed and all this stuff. And then I turned to the man and I said, let me ask you a question. I said, is this your ministry or is it her ministry? And he said, it's hers. And I said, do you know what God's word says about ladies leading in ministry, being ministers and pastors and ladies leading men? And he goes, and they were both, the ladies were both right there. It took about 20 seconds of preaching God's word. And the other lady was a Roman Catholic. She gives me a Roman Catholic tract. And I said, I'm sorry, Roman Catholic is not biblical. I said, I could show you in love. It's pagan. It's unbiblical. It's works-based. They deny who Christ is. They sacrifice him over and over. They both got mad, took off. But that man stood and listened. And praise God, for 20 minutes I got to preach to him. I only bring this up to you. You pulled up right next to them and you saw scripture verses. We go all over the place and we go to religious bodies or we see people that, we go and talk to the homeless, but we see people that have, you know, I'll see a guy walking up and he's got a big Jesus sticker and I go up and I talk to him. I say, what's the gospel? And they go, I go to church down the street. And you go, well, how are you a Christian? And they go, well, I believe in Jesus. And you go, is that all? Satan believes. And the demons believe and they tremble. Are they going to heaven too? So I just share with you, I don't know where you're at with it in your walk. Massive deception. And Jesus warned us it would be so. Do you agree?
Say that again,
slowly. Jesus warned us it would be so in the last days.
What would be so in the last days? Sorry.
Great deception. great deception. False teachers, Matthew 24, 4 or 5 times, he says the false teachers will be coming, saying he's the Christ, deceiving.
Are you talking Matthew
24.
4. Yeah,
yeah.
24.
24.
Verses 1 through, and some of the stuff, there's some interesting things in there.
Yeah.
You heard of Zika virus? It says, line says, woe it'll be unto mothers in those days. And that's exactly what Zika virus
is. That called? Yeah, I would have called that the Vinca virus. Is it, what did you say? It's a
Zika.
Yeah, yeah. It's where the babies come out.
Deformed,
yeah.
The heads don't develop.
Yeah, the Bible has great stark warnings, and I believe, and that's why we go and we travel as much as we do, and I think we're going to be traveling full-time pretty soon. There's such a need for people to be, for the Word of God to be contended for the biblical gospel to be proclaimed, because America, and I'm sure he was telling me in Canada, it's just as bad up there. You get arrested if you preach against homosexuality.
You get pressured and you get told off.
Yeah.
And Canada right now, they're more concerned about the Muslims.
Yes.
Because they're immigrants. And we want to welcome
them. It's taking over.
So we don't want to use the word Christmas. We just call it a season's tree.
Yeah.
We don't call it a Christmas tree because we want to offend the Muslims and the Sikhs.
You brought up a good point, and I'm not for Muslims whatsoever. That's Allah is Satan. Okay, yeah. If you study, Allah is Satan.
So, but he says they got part of God, but they don't have Jesus.
Right,
Jesus,
they have...
just a prophet, just like Muhammad.
Yeah, they have the wrong prophet, they have the wrong Jesus. The Baptist guy I witnessed to today has the wrong Jesus. The seeker-sensitive body I went to today has the wrong Jesus. But you mentioned Christmas. Maybe this will help you go a little deeper. Our website teaches on this. You realize Christmas is a pagan holiday, never instituted by God.
Oh, I know that, yes. Yeah. So is Easter. Easter's a terrible one.
Very good. Thank you.
Easter's dreadful.
Thank you. But yet...
Easter,
how is it? You said David?
Word, yes.
David.
Easter comes from the word Ishtar,
yes.
Which was a Babylonian festival of fertility.
Yes, yes.
That's not nothing to do with Christianity. A friend of mine once challenged me, something or a Messianic Jew.
Yes.
The person was an Australian, she, no offense there, but she said to me, she says, oh, you celebrate Easter or you're a pagan? And so I called a buddy of mine and we started talking about it. And he finally admits, he says, yeah, actually it is.
But everybody will tell you, well, we're doing it our way, we're doing different, we've made it a little better. God says don't do any of those. Don't sanitize it, stay away from those ways, come out of all those false ways. So you started to tell me, how long have you been, you born again according to the gospel?
I was born again, if you want to hear this.
Yes.
I was born again at a Roman Catholic weekend retreat. And 4 years later, I got kicked out because I tried witnessing to some priests.
Yes. Just like the lady over there. You know, it's funny. She told me, don't you judge anybody.
Yeah.
And then she instantly judged me without even opening the Bible and going to God's word. So you see through Roman Catholicism, you see that it's an ungodly, unpagan. God spoke to you through scriptures and you came out of that. So do you affiliate? Do you gather with anyone?
When I was in Peru, I gathered with...
You were on a mission field in Peru?
Yes.
Yes.
I was teaching English.
Uh-huh.
Most of my students were Roman Catholic, and a wonderful opportunity to witness.
Yes.
I don't push it, but I said, well, yeah, by the way, that's not, you know, that's not Christian, by the way. And I say to them, do you pray to Mary? And they go, well...
they probably know what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not quite right.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing in the Bible to support it.
No.
It says, yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, their whole faith, the whole Pope system and all of that is all false. But you know what's interesting is the Roman Catholics persecuted people, and that's why the Protestant movement happened. And the Protestants, that means comes from the word protest, I'm sure you know this.
Yes.
Today, at the Seeker Sensitive place, we're standing with a gospel sign and people drive by and they say, why are you protesting us? And I said, the same reasons your founding fathers protested the Roman Catholics. I said, but we protest the Catholics and we protest you, because the evangelicals never were biblical. Martin Luther was a murderous, hate-filled baby baptizing man. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yes. He said you should baptize Jews by tying a rope around their neck with a big rock and throwing them in a river.
Really?
He said when the peasants rose against the Roman Catholics, he said, shoot them behind the neck or shoot them behind the ear or slit their neck. You're doing God's favor by getting rid of them. He baptized babies. He prayed to Mary. Martin Luther was a heretic. Now,
Lutherans actually have a worship service almost Roman Catholic.
Yes. She was a Lutheran for 30 years.
I've been around. I've been to these places.
You have great knowledge.
I've not feared to tread and go in these places.
Yes.
I've not been in a Mormon church, but I have a friend who was in a prayer. I was in a men's prayer group in Peru.
Yeah.
And one friend there is an ex-Mormon bishop.
Ah, Mormons,
and,
yeah.
A Christian now.
He's a Christian now, yeah.
He's a Christian now.
Yeah, yeah.
Converted
praise
20
God.
Years ago. Went through hell to get there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you leave the Mormon net.
Yeah.
You lose your family. Well, we did. It's not, you know, who Mennonites are?
You lose his family that way.
Yeah, Mennonites, Mormons, you can lose your family, but we did too. We lost our family. They all wanted to either stay drunks and partiers or religious Sunday people. And when you open the Bible and say, let's talk about the Word of God, they go, get away from me. And so we lost virtually everybody. So we understand it. Christ tells us that will happen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His testimony was not as shocking. I'll leave it out. I heard a good one last year. There's a group of boys going around. I don't know where they're from. They might be Mennonites, actually. They're called Tim and the Glory Boys. And then part of their testimony, he says, Tim Neufeld, he says, I want to start a band. He says, now, I needed three people to help me. Qualification number one, they had to look like Jesus. So they got to have a full beard, long hair. He's showing them off.
How do we know what Jesus looked like?
Yeah, well, we don't.
We don't.
Yeah, you see if you see one with blonde hair, well, the black guys don't like that, because he might have been black.
Yeah.
But he wasn't black. He was in a Jewish culture, so he'd have been. What do the Jews look like?
Yeah,
that's what he looked like.
Yeah, there's a very good chance. Yep. Yes, that's right. There's a very good chance he had a beard. There's a very good chance that he was dark skinned, obviously.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's very important. But you know, I always teach people it's so important that we imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. 1 Corinthians 11. So many people are imitating Luther or Calvin or going back and imitating David.
Yeah.
And so that's why you mentioned music. That's another thing that sets us apart. We teach people that instrumental music for the New Testament body is sinful and not in keeping with the traditions, because what happens with instrumental music is we're supposed to sing to God with our spirits from the inside and not be moved by the flesh whatsoever. Romans 8.
Yeah.
You can't please God in the flesh. What does instrumental music do to you?
It's not bad, but it's too much performance style.
Well, what it does though is does it not move your flesh? You hear music, you want to tap your foot, you get this spirited feeling. That's moving your flesh. The Bible says we're to be quickened by the moving of the Spirit. And so instrumental music, you know when, okay, Jesus in Matthew 26, he institutes the Lord's Supper, and then they called for the harpist and the tambourine, and they jammed out to a song, right? Mm-hmm. No. You know what it says? It says they sang a hymn. It was pretty awesome. They sang. We're doing great.
Scott, do you want something to eat?
No, I'm good.
Are you sure?
I'm good, thanks, yeah.
How about the two of you?
Yeah.
I may check
you're
all good?
Yeah. So they sang a hymn.
It's okay, you can say it if you want.
They sang a hymn in Matthew 26.
Okay.
And then we see all through the New Testament, no instruments. Do you know who brought instruments back into the New Testament body of Christ?
I do not know.
Roman Catholic pagans in the 9th century, they brought the organ back in. And it's historical fact that all the men, I wouldn't call them biblical Christians, but all the men at the time, because it was long-standing no instruments, they said, this is of Satan, you can't do this. And they brought in the organ, and look what we have today, David. In these places like I was at this morning, they have full-blown rock bands.
Do you preach when you're in these churches?
We stand outside with gospel signs. They will call the police and throw me out.
Really?
We were out, how long were we out today, honey? Before the security guard came out. We got right by the street, and we said, that looks like their sidewalk. I've gotten good at this, praise God. You know, I'd be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. We saw the sidewalk, and we said, that's probably their sidewalk, because some churches make sidewalks. So we stood on the street, and we stood our gospel sign, and the gospel sign says, this church is sinful. Don'tperish.com. And there's a testing of that body, so people can go open the Bible. They can see. We show their gospel's unbiblical. Christmas and Easter is unbiblical. Their modern pastor's unbiblical. Their instrumental, worldly, emotional music. It's an entertainment. It's a big entertainment place is what it is. We weren't there 2 minutes, and some old guy beelined right up, and he goes, you can't be here. And I said, sir, I'm on public property. We don't want you here. I said, I don't care if you don't want me here. I said, would you like a gospel card? And I'll show you why this is unbiblical. We love our neighbor. I don't want that, I don't want that. And he left us, and we stood there for their two services. You can go on our website if you'd like, and you can listen to the audio if you're interested. I record them, it's a public recording, and I place it on the internet for teaching purposes. And people need to be called out of that. And we're looking for the few sheep. Jesus said few. Man-made religion, I don't care if it's Roman Catholicism or woman-run ministries or Mormonism, all right? These are all man-made faiths. There's only one true faith. It's the faith that God's Word teaches. There's one body of Christ. That's the body of Christ all over the world that are truly born of God. And then His sheep hear His Word, and they strive and they obey every letter of it in the New Testament. And what we see in America, and I'm sure you see it in Canada, is people are happy to keep traditions and just say, it's good enough, God. And God says no. Jesus says strive for perfection in Matthew 5:48.
Also, people change as they're walking out of church in the morning.
Yes. Well, right here.
An hour later, a day later, they look at me and I wave, look at my street, and it's like, hi, Peter. And he's like, oh, yeah. But the enthusiasm on Sunday morning, hey, shaking my hand and all the rest. But
amen.
It's like he barely knows me.
You see that. Over there, my wife saw it. There was two ladies that say they love Jesus. What's a sign of us loving Jesus? Love for each other. I walked up with a Bible. It took 30 seconds and they walked away and they went away and they both judged me. And we heard them say, he's lying. Get your Bible. And then that man did stand and listen to me, but I don't know how serious. He doesn't want to talk about the things of God. And I'm not gossiping. I'm just telling, because I told him all that. I'm just telling you the truth that everywhere we go, we see people that are compromising on the Word of God and compromising is sin. And I like to encourage men that know the Word of God to keep going deeper, to keep conforming themselves to the Word of God. Our website helps people do that. God changes your heart, then your outsides change. Well, you see how my wife dresses?
Well, the kind of scriptural way of doing it,
yes. And I believe that men should also, while the Bible doesn't command men wear robes, it does command ladies to wear a long and flowing catastole. In 1 Timothy, it teaches that. And I believe that men should model that, but we should be unadorned. These are sin coverings. Most people think they're fashion things. Or they're a thing to show off my body, so I'm looking good, even when I'm going to church. What we saw in these churches today, it's horrendous. Harlot-dressed women going in, and men have to look at the ground, otherwise they're seeing forms and figures and busts and butts, and sorry to be graphic, but it's very sinful.
I've seen it too.
So. Yes. Yeah. And so how can these people say they're born of God then if they say, you know, and many people say to me, well, they don't know. We go to tell them. They don't want to know. Pastors, you know what they do? I have to laugh because it's so sad. They bring me bottles of water. They bring me coffee and donuts. And when I say, I don't want your water and your coffee and donuts, here's the Word of God. Let's talk about the Word of God. No, thank you. See you later. Gotta go. This is a sign. Jesus, you said love. The other sign was you keep His commands. Those are goat farms. Just like, and most of the ministries you run into are deceiving people with feel-good Christianity. And I think you probably know the Bible well enough to know this. Did you know that Paul warned about false Jesus?
It's a quite a lot of warnings in the Bible.
Yeah. He talks about the false gospel in Galatians 1, and then I think it's 1 Corinthians 9, where he talks about if they come preaching another Jesus. So the other Jesus that they preach is unity. This is a big one. We all got to just come together and love, even with our differences. We got to love each other. When I get my Bible and I read Matthew 10, my Lord and Savior said, I did not come to bring peace. You know what he came to bring. Sword. And he divides. Go read Matthew 10. And he's dividing the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats. And so many people are being drawn, this is where I was going, they're being drawn back into Roman Catholicism. Did you know that?
The Roman Church is changing a little bit, trying to be a little less...
Because killing people didn't work. So now... They're still deceivers because they won't lay down their doctrines, but now they're being like the Mormons. When you witness to a Mormon, you know what a Mormon... Have you witnessed to a Mormon before?
A lot, yeah.
Okay. What do they try to do to get into you, to get close to you? What do they try to do?
Well, they try to change their interpretation. They got the same Bible as the King James goes.
Yeah.
But most of us don't speak Old English, so it's kind of confusing to read it. These and thous and the rest of it. But when I learned to witness to Mormons and I went to college to learn how, question number one, is your God an all-knowing God? And they answer no.
Yeah.
When you die, do you believe you'll become God? The answer, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some of them will lie and say, no, they don't. And then I always ask them, who is Christ? And that one. But you know what they always try to do? Just like Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons always try to find common ground.
Yes.
Oh, we read the Bible too. And oh, we believe in Jesus too. And yeah, we believe in this. And they try to find common ground. And when I witness to them boldly in love, they still say, well, we just want to find common ground with people.
Mike, are you?
No, I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. So that's fine. You come and listen.
Of course.
Absolutely.
We're just talking about the Word of God.
See?
Yeah. So they're always trying to find common ground. Roman Catholics will do the same. And they'll say, well, we believe in Jesus and, you know, we believe in his sacrifice. The problem is they keep re-sacrificing him over and over again in the Mass. And they're into, as you well know, pagan idolatry, lifting the Lord up in the monstrance and saying that's his literal body and literal blood. And it becomes an idol. You know that?
Yes.
Yeah. Transubstantiation. Con is what the Lutherans teach. Trans is what they teach.
What church, kind of church, do you go to a church?
Yeah, I do. I go to a Christian non-denomination.
Do you?
Christian which?
Non-denomination.
Oh, non-denomination.
Do you live around here?
No, I live all the way back in Cranbrook, BC.
In where?
Cranbrook.
I don't know where that is.
Cranbrook.
Is that in Montana?
It's Canada.
Oh, Canada.
A little bit north of here.
Who are you? How old are you?
I'm 15.
Who are you here with?
Oh, I'm here with my family.
Oh, your family.
Yeah, we're just back
there. Is your dad a believer? Take this and give this to your dad. You and him can talk about it. It's the biblical gospel, how to find eternal life. That's what we're talking about. The difference between biblical true faith, that's what our website's all about, and all the different man-made religions all over. And if you'd like to share that with your dad, we'll be camped here. I'd love to talk about the things of God anytime. You can go to our website, lots of articles. You can stand and listen too, but you share that with him. Because you're 15, I want you to go through your dad.
Yeah.
But you're welcome to stand there and listen. But you were sharing with me, so you were on a mission field in Peru for how long?
5 months last time and 6 months before.
Nice. And now you were telling me he lives in his camper. He's a truck driver. I'm just filling my wife in. Yeah. And you're headed for a new job somewhere.
More work.
Oh, okay.
It's a slow season.
Okay.
It's farm stuff. I'm harvesting peas right now.
Hauling peas? Oh, husking peas.
Little green peas.
How do you do that?
Well, they go into a machine.
Yeah.
An American-made machine made in Seattle.
Yeah.
That costs us 1.3, and your money is one
okay.
million.
Okay.
Big yellow machine. I got pictures.
So you're not truck driving for them?
I drive a truck that comes, and then there's a machine to help the truck.
And then
big hopper that goes up in the air, tipped over, and dumped into the box.
So you're one of these guys that we hear about. You're like, what do they call them lovingly? Not migrant workers, but they call themselves farm workers that travel. Worker. Farm workers that travel.
I don't work for the farm. I work on the farm. The company I work for is a private, independent company. I'm working up in Canada, just a little bit east of Lethbridge.
Oh, no, that's not too far.
Oh, yeah, two Canadians, right?
Is that
yeah.
Tabor?
Yes, Tabor,
yeah,
that's
Tabor.
Far.
The next
crop is corn, Tabor corn.
Yeah, corn.
And you're here just on vacation?
No, we're actually traveling, like, all around in our motorhome right now.
Living in it.
Yeah, we're living in a cottage.
And just a sightsee, or?
Well, we were at like a Bible camp, and then we just killed deer to chill out for a bit, take a little break.
Before you're heading home.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Interesting. So I saw you sharing the Bible. What were you sharing? Can I ask? You had a Bible open. I was eating over there and
took out a Bible.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there are things. There are two Bibles I've seen in my life that got the goosebumps all over me. One was a family Bible that's about this wide.
Okay.
And about this long and about this thick.
They used to be pretty big.
With a metal cover, and it was all written by hand back in the 1600s. It was starting in the 1500s and continued writing into the 1600s.
Yes. Was it King James?
In King James.
Yes.
And I mean,
Old English.
When I get to a Bible, and the Bible I just brought out on my trailer, I was given as a present a little over a year ago when I was in Peru. I was teaching English down there, and somebody there I was working for gave me a Peru Bible.
And is that King James also? Oh, it's in Peruvian? No. How do you say that word?
The way I say it, it's in Spanish.
Oh, it's Spanish. Peruvian speaks Spanish.
The Spanish language is older than the English language.
Yep.
The Spanish language hasn't changed in over 2,000 years.
Yeah, the English language is really changed. Only about 600 years old, right? Didn't it come from like Germanic and then into England?
It had Greek. I mean, English, like words like thermos is a Greek word. Sheep is a Greek word. There's no sheep's. There's sheep. Yeah. You know,
we have a complicated language, I know. Very strange.
So, yeah, English is a mixture of languages.
Yeah.
But the Old English, I guess, came out of Saxon, and in amongst that, there was Latin.
Mm-hmm.
The educated English back in the 400, 500, 800 AD, they spoke Latin.
Interesting. Educated. Yes. So I have a question for you. You sound
the Peru Bible. So you've got like two languages. You've got various versions of English, and then you got Spanish that predated Christ.
Interesting.
Okay? The Spanish Bible, the wording isn't exact with the NIV, but the meaning is exactly the same.
Yeah.
The books are exactly the same.
Yeah.
They're just Spanish instead of English. And I go read it, and if you understand the Spanish well enough, you're reading the same stuff. So you're talking about something that came from another culture, another continent, another language.
Totally different language, like Hebrew.
But it came from the original scrolls that, you know, Matthew and Mark and Luke was all written on.
Yep.
So it's been translated from, whether that was in Latin or Greek, I don't know.
Yeah. So I have a question for you.
It's the same stuff.
I was witnessing to a Messianic Jew, and he was telling me that I need to go and get a Hebrew New Testament because he said that the whole New Testament was written in Hebrew. And I said, hold on. I said, I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm just an evangelist. But I think I know the manuscripts well enough that all the manuscript evidence we have in history, for the most part, 23, 24,000 manuscripts, I believe those overwhelmingly are in Greek.
Yes.
There's a few that I believe are found in Latin, and I think a few of Mark are found in Hebrew, but the preponderance of the evidence is
the Old Testament would be written in Hebrew.
Yes, the Old Testament. He was talking about the New Testament. And so what they have done is they come in with Hebrew, and we know Hebrew is a very complex language, and they totally rewritten the New Testament in Hebrew. And what it does is it bends everything back their way to their bent, kind of. And I had to go back and I said, I'm going to do my research again. I went back and I did my research, and exactly what I told him is still true, is that there's not really a legitimate scholar anywhere that believes the whole New Testament was written in Hebrew. This is another of the false teaching they get in these Messianic congregations to make them feel, I don't know, special or something. And I said, so you're, this is where I tripped him up, I think. I said, so you're telling me Jesus and Paul spoke to the Roman soldiers? He said, yeah. I said, did the Roman soldiers speak Hebrew?
No,
and he stumbled all over that. And I said, they either spoke Latin or Greek. And if you look, that area where Jesus was from, they said in history was predominantly known as a Greek-speaking area. And many of the Jews at the time, I didn't know this, in my research I found this, many of the Jews at the time were even leaving speaking Hebrew. And a lot of them were speaking Greek because it became like an international, like English is now, I guess, kind of an international language. And so it was pretty telling that this man was trying to tell me I got to go and buy a Hebrew New Testament. It's just more of that deception that if we don't test all things, 1 Thess 5, we get deceived.
Yeah.
And sadly, people aren't testing enough. And that's why I just encourage people. I encourage young men, get to the Bible, read it, test everything you do or say or believe. Watch yourself. And make sure that you're following the ways of God's word and not just man-made religion. That's what we're all about. We don't teach any denomination. We're not part of any denomination. We just teach God's word and the gospels on our card, And we ask people to test themselves to that gospel so that we don't hear the words of Matthew 7, away from me, I never knew you, because that's going to happen to most everybody.
Well, yeah, that's the worst piece of scripture, in my opinion, the most nightmarish part. I mean, you thought you lived your life, you thought you were a Christian, you thought you were a believer. There are people who, and I think scripture says, people will go to Jesus and say, you know, after they've died, and say, Lord, Lord, may I come unto you? And Jesus will say, get away from me, you wicked person, for yeah. I never knew you. The person may even say, but Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name?
Amen.
It's like, but that's not enough. Because I think 1 Corinthians...
Why did he turn them away? This is very important.
Why did he turn them away
in Matthew 7? You said it.
He didn't know them.
Yep, but there's another reason why he didn't know them. They were workers of iniquity. And I always teach people, like the Baptist man tried to tell me, you could be a drunken adulterer and still go to heaven. I try to teach them that God's people, if you're born of God, you change and you begin to live holy, righteous life, and you come out of the world and you come out of all sinful ways. But most people today teach that you will always be a big sinner. You'll always live in your sin and you're still going to go to heaven because Jesus pretty much paid off your credit card no matter how much you sin. That's an absolute lie. Unrepentant sins are not covered. So if I leave my wife and I go out and choose a mistress and I fall into adultery, the blood of Christ does not cover me. Think
Unless
about
you
that.
Repent.
Unless I repent. Then when I repent, repentance is a turning of my mind. Now I leave that way.
One of the messages out there that's scaring a lot of people is, and scaring me too, is can you sin over and over and over and over and repent over and over and over and over?
Or what say it, you?
Well, one of the things scripture says is, Bible says is, what does it say? The word exact wording is, how many times does Jesus have to die on the cross for your sins? Because he just died once on the cross for your sins. He died for all sins,
yeah.
Past, present, and future. So that part kind of confuses a little bit. He died for past, Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. That's biblical, that's correct.
I guess it's a hard thing though, right?
I would disagree that he died for all sins, past, present, and future, all repentive sins.
All repentive sins.
That's very important because a lot of people say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm born again. I can pretty much, go to church and you don't get drunk, you don't kill anybody. But I can pretty much, live the way I want and God knows I'm a sinner and he's going to forgive me. No. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says those who are born of God hear his voice and follow him. And guess what? If you're a sheep of God and God says, let's go this way, you follow God. You don't go, I'm going to go follow this wicked shepherd for a while. You follow him. And if the sheep gate closes, you're left out. Well, you have to repent and he may come back looking for you. But
Ephesians 5.
Yep. Two things I want to say about that is we have great news. 1 John says he's faithful and just to forgive us if we confess our sins. So that's the good news. So he will continue to cover us if we confess. Confession is part of repentance. I did this. But Hebrews 10:26, I think it is, says if we continue to trample the blood of Christ and continue sinning after we know and come to the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. So here's the danger point. We're just mere men. We have no idea knowing where that is. Have you sinned enough in your life knowing Christ that you've trampled the blood of Christ? I propose to men, don't even get close to that. Continue to walk in holiness. Every time you slip and fall, repent and say, Father, forgive me and cover me with the blood of Christ, and you'll be okay. I believe it's the people that go, here's God's word. I'm going to kind of walk a lot in the world over here. I think they're in grave danger. Unless you're striving for holiness and obedience, I believe you're in grave danger of being a child of Satan. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, like, if you repent, knowing you'll sin again and, in your heart not fully committing to the repentance, then I would say, that it doesn't work and you're still, going to be judged, equally for that. But, if it's true in your heart, that you're going to repent, and you are actually, planning to live it out and you're going to, but then you fall short and then you, come back again, but you're actually still trying, I'd say that it's still okay.
Yeah. What is repentance? Do you know?
Turning back from your ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Biblical repentance is your mind turns. And then I think it's in the Greek, it's metanoio. It's really a big Greek word. But your mind turns. And then what happens when your mind turns? Your body pretty much follows. You know, if your mind says, I want a video game, you go to the video game. If your mind says, I want a cheeseburger, your body's going for cheeseburger. So when your mind changes, so I would agree with you that if you truly have a repentive heart and you struggle, you don't live. It's the old, in Peter, the pig is in the wallow. Pigs go in wallows, right? If you take the pig out and wash it and clean it up, if you don't change its heart and mind, what happens to the pig when you let it go? Goes back in the wallow. Now, if you change the pig's heart and mind, or you change man's heart by circumcising him, what I always teach is this: no circumcised of the heart man born of God will ever go run and jump back in the wallow and live in the world and be sinful. He may get too close to the puddle with his friends. And then he looks and they slap mud on him and he goes, oh, Father, I've gotten too close to sin. I've sinned. I've slipped into sin. You repent of that. You're covered by the blood of Christ. But it's when people willfully go and jump and think, the blood of Christ covers me, that's when we're trampling on the blood of Christ. And this is very dangerous. American Christianity is flush with that. I'm pretty confident most of the world is too.
Although the sinner that was on the cross had done way worse things than that, and yet living on the cross of Christ, Jesus said you were covered.
Yes. Good point. But let's look at that. Thief on the cross, what did he do? He believed on Christ. He repented. And this is an interesting story. Maybe you can use this. Maybe you too. I think this is great. He believed on Christ. He repented. He was born again, because if his thief buddies were standing there going, this guy's a big thief, and now he's going, look at, here's this man truly is the Son of God, and look what you've done. He did more from the cross right before he died than many men do for Christ in their life. He started witnessing. He instantly started witnessing for Christ. He was transformed. So he did. He believed. He repented. He was born again. I'm sure if he made it off the cross, he would have lived a life of holiness and obedience following Christ, and he would have endured in his faith to finish out the gospel.
So does the measurement thing take into effect after your first time of repentance or before?
Measurement thing.
Well, you said, like, when does sin outweigh?
That's the question. If you believe in Christ and you're his child, you say you're born of Christ, here's the question. How much sin can you do in your life? Maybe the same sin. Maybe it's sin you struggle with over and over again. How many times can you keep doing that and keep running back for repentance and keep expecting God to always say, yes, I'm going to give you forgiveness or repentance?
But
I don't know the answer to that.
But if I sinned like my whole life and then repented for the first time, would that still come into effect?
Oh, no. Whatever you've done before Christ, you're a new creation.
Okay.
2 Corinthians 5:17. Yes. It's like when you get married, when you grow up, and if marriage is in your future, when you get married to your wife, you and her have a fresh start from day one. And then you go from there. It's not going to hold you against your past. It's from new life in Christ, you're committed to Christ, and then you repent and you follow after him. You probably have to get going.
I was just going to go grab some bread and
yep.
Come right back then.
I'll be sitting right here if you want to come over and talk. You tell your dad. What is your name again?
Alec.
Alex?
It's with the C.
Oh,
Alec.
Bad hearing. Alec.
Yeah.
Tell your dad we're here if he'd like to come talk. We're sitting right over here. We'll be sitting out working on our computers. We love to talk about the things of God. You've both been very gracious.
You're sleeping in the van?
Yes, that's our camper right there.
You're in the trailer.
That's our camper.
Oh, okay, that's your camper.
In Missouri, we live off the grid. We have a little house. We live off the grid.
Missouri.
The central part of Missouri is where we're from. We're from Wisconsin, but we bought... TV entertains you, right? Mm-hmm. TV shows, puts immodest things before your eyes. Immodest dressed girls. Vulgar things, language, systems and ideas of the world, evolution, new age, atheism. So the Bible says in Proverbs, set nothing vile before your eyes.
Right.
So television would be a vile thing. The only way TV would not be vile, if you had two channels and clicked it on and watched the weather, and there was no immodest women or anything on, and you just watched the weather. Do you know anybody that just does that? No.
Grandparents.
Well, maybe sometimes. Your grandparents, but they still watch all kinds of stuff. Yeah. So TV would be one. Going to the movies would be another one. There's nothing good and godly and pure or movies. Sports. Competition, knocking each other down, striving and being covetous to win over each other. Does that sound godly?
No, but sometimes that is like having fun, right?
Not if it's ungodly. We don't have fun at the expense of being godly. Right?
What? Like hunting and fishing.
Well... Hunting and fishing is good if your family's hungry and you need food. God gave us animals to use. If you go out in the woods and you spend 12 hours a day waiting for a big giant buck to come along so you can brag you shot a big buck, and you don't read your Bible that much, is that kind of an idol?
What happens if you use...
No, wait, answer that question.
Sorry, what did you
do? If you spent all your time hunting to get a big giant buck,
right?
to brag, because that's what people do. Look at the bug I shot.
Yeah.
But you don't read your Bible and proclaim God's truth that much. Is that kind of an idol? An idol is anything you put before God.
Yes.
So hunting and fishing isn't sinful as long as you have a balance and you're getting food for your family and you're still doing what God's called you to do, and that's put Him first. Most men I know don't hunt that way. Most men I know hunt for big antlers, you know it, and they hunt because they just love being out in the woods, but they're not about the things of God. Yeah.
But what happens if you use those hunting and fishing and like sports to reach people who don't have communications with God? What if you go play with them as a team to create an inner bondage so that you can speak truth into them?
Here's what I would say. That's called pragmatism. You can look it up sometime. That's doing something that's wrong for a right end. Let me give an example. What if I told you I knew some homeless guys there that were poor and they needed food and I didn't have any money? So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go rob a bank. I'm gonna give the money to them. Now, is robbing the bank sinful?
Yes.
Is giving the money to them sinful?
Yes.
Well, if I stole it, it would be. So, if you play sports and you admit that being covetous and riving and violent and immodest is ungodly, then you can't do that for witnessing. What you do is you witness in a godly fashion. So if those men need to hear the things of God, don't join the sports with them. Go to the place where they are and witness to them when they're leaving the sports. Because if they really want to hear the word of God, they're going to hear it no matter what. You don't need to join them. If you wanted to reach drug addicts, would you become a drug addict? Please, yes. No, don't do that.
That's a little extreme.
No, it's not, because it's sinful.
But
they're both sinful activities.
Why is playing a sport sinful?
Well, I just told you. Because
what if you don't do it for the win, you do it because you enjoy doing it?
You're still, are you dressed immodest while you're doing it, running around? Yep, there you go. So you're not supposed to be immodest.
Wait, what?
Are you immodest? Wearing tight clothing?
No, you just...
What sport are we talking about?
Football.
You're immodest. Football. Because you have skin-tight clothes on. Your form's not covered.
But
you can see men's butts, men's crotches. I mean, I'm being graphic, but I'm sorry, but you're a young man. That's immodest. And then you're tackling each other violently, trying to win over your neighbor. Is that godly? The Bible says don't be rowdy, don't be a reviler. That's what that is. And then people in the stands, is that godly?
Well, I don't know.
How about when the cheerleaders come running out and they dress like little harlots?
That's not.
Is that godly?
Yeah.
But if you're part of it, you're part of it.
Right.
So see, those are the things. Now, if you're going to ask me if you and your dad throw a football around in your backyard for a little exercise, there's nothing ungodly about that.
Okay.
But
I understand.
It's putting the sports together, the immodesty, the cheerleaders, the fans, the rowdiness, the covetousness. And again, I'm going to ask you, young men, practice football, right? A lot. Do they read and preach and study the Word of God as much?
Well, not the ones who don't know God.
But even the ones that do?
Well, I play football.
But okay, so I don't know. But I mean, if you put the things together that you do in this world, do they equal as much time as you spend reading the Word, preaching the Word? Be honest. Be honest.
Exactly.
This is a problem. Then that becomes an idol. What if I told you I hunt and fish a lot more than I read and preach the Word of God? You would tell me that hunting and fishing is my idol.
Okay.
So you understand, the Bible says we're to test all things. So test your life in every way and go, how does this line up to the Word of God? How am I doing at this? Again, this is all concepts from the Word of God. 1 says 5 says to test everything. Ephesians 5 says to redeem the time. Here you go. How old are you?
I'm 15.
What if you're only going to live to be 18? You know you could die when you're 18.
Yep.
Would you want to spend the next 3 years of your life playing football and sports, or would you want to spend the last 3 years of your life learning, preaching, proclaiming God?
Probably second.
So you don't know how long you're going to live, so you better get to that one. That's why I'm 57. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I'm going to do this one a lot. You sure your parents aren't worried about you?
I think they're inside shopping. I'm going to head back in my chair soon, though.
You're going to what?
I got to take some meds.
Oh, asthma or something?
Sick. Yeah, I got asthma and I...
Well, you go tell your dad we're here. You're welcome to come back.
Yeah, and I'll do some researching into it.
Yes. Check out our website. Let us know how we can help you guys. Pleasure talking to you.